Praise the Lord. Really feel the presence of the Lord this morning. But it's a tender, gentle presence. It's a drawing presence. I want to talk this morning about take up your cross. That's going to be our subject. Take up your cross. Oh yeah. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for everything that's been done in this service and for already through the worship drawing us closer to you and speaking to our hearts. And I feel like, Lord, you want to bring us to a special place this morning. I sense something different, Lord, even from the time I got up today. And I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts as only you can. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach a message this morning you wouldn't hear in a lot of churches today. You won't hear this much anymore. But it's the truth. And how many of you want to hear the truth? Amen. Because it's the Word of God. And we're going to read our scripture this morning. One of the verses we're starting with is Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And this scripture says that Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, how many of you desire to come after Jesus? Amen. Well, here's what you do. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross. And follow me. Just three things. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And follow Jesus. It's not complicated. It's pretty simple. That's what he asked us to do. If we're going to go after him, those are the things we have to do. We'll start with the first one. Deny yourself. Boy, that's not popular today. Because we live in it's all about me society. It's all about what I want. It's all about my pleasure. It's all about what makes me feel good. It's all about me. It's all about chasing the things of the world, chasing the things of life, chasing the pleasures of life. And we chase a lot of things. You know, we sing the song, all I want is Jesus, all I want is Jesus. But that's not all we want. And if we were real honest, you know, if we could get intimate and honest, we'd all have to admit that we chase a lot of other things too. Jesus is not all we're chasing. In fact, we don't chase Jesus near as hard as we chase a lot of other things. Amen? And that's part of the problem. We're always wanting to see a great move of God. You know, we talk about that all the time. I want to see a great move of God. I want to see revival. I want to see the glory. Our words say that, but our actions don't. Until our actions match our words, until my desire is so strong that I'm doing what I'm talking, we're never going to experience that level of glory. It's when you get hungry enough and desire it enough that you'll really go after it. Amen? So deny yourself's not very popular. Because see, here's what's got to happen. We're always wanting God to fill us up, you know. The Bible says that we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. You are an earthly vessel, but you have a treasure in you. Amen? And we don't even realize the extent of the treasure that is in us. We don't fully appreciate the extent of what God has done and what God has placed within us. The Bible says the entire Godhead dwells within us bodily. I can't grasp the completeness and the fullness of that. I can't. But God wants to fill these vessels, these, you know, we're pots and pans. Some of us are more pots than we are pans, but we're pots and pans and vases, or we're different shaped vessels, and God wants to fill you up. God wants to pour into you, into the vessel that you are. But there's a catch. The catch is, he will empty you out before he will fill you up. And there is a lot of our problem. We don't get filled up with God because we don't get emptied out. I'll say that again. We don't get filled up with God because we don't get emptied out. Amen? So God's wanting to do that emptying process. In other words, you can't have a crown without a cross. You can't have a crown without a cross. You have to go through that process of letting God clean you out and take away and do that work, get the world out of us and get the stuff out of us, that things that we have held on to and things that we have treasured. Galatians 2:20, our next verse this morning says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Say, no longer I. Powerful words. You ought to write them and put them on your refrigerator and see them every day. No longer I. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Less of me. Less of me. See, the big problem is we're in the way. The Christian life is not about you living the Christian life. This is what we don't understand. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do. That's not the power of the Christian life. The power of the Christian life is not you living the Christian life. It's Jesus living the Christian life through you. And you becoming that vessel that he can use, and you just turn yourself over to him. I have been crucified with Christ, but it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I'm now living, I live by the faith and the power and the enablement and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God that is living in me. That's what's in me now. It's no longer I. I never could do anything. I can't save myself. I never could save myself. I could never be worthy. I could never measure up to the cross. The blood of Jesus has already been presented on the mercy seat to the Father. What could you possibly bring in addition to that? What could you walk into the Holy of Holies with in your hands that would it? I'd be ashamed to walk in after the blood of Jesus has been laid before it. What offering could I bring? Nothing. The song said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I have nothing to bring. But the blood of Jesus was brought for me. The blood of Jesus was applied for me. The blood of Jesus was given for me. Hallelujah. I could never do it. He does the work through us. And the next thing he said was, take up your cross. Deny yourself. Get yourself out of the way. Don't live so much for you, but learn to live for others and to live for Jesus. And secondly, take up your cross, which simply means you have to pick up something. You have to pick something up. God is requiring that you pick up something, to pick up the cross. And I'm not talking about, well, this is my cross to bear. You hear people say that, this is my cross in life. I've got problems, I've got this. I'm not talking about that cross. I'm not talking about that cross. This is my cross. I'm not talking about, that's not the cross Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about his cross. He was talking about the cross. And the cross was designed for us just as much as it was designed for him. And I want to tell you something about the cross. The cross is brutal. And the cross never loses. I want to read a devotion. It's short, that I wrote several years ago. We also have devotions on that app I was telling you about. But this was a devotion I wrote. It's just short. I want to read it to you. So when I wrote it, it just really flowed out of me what the Lord was saying. It says, the cross is a radical thing. It stands starkly before us, demanding our attention. The cross of the Roman era made no concessions and knew no compromise. It never lost an argument. It did not even spare the Son of God, but killed him as it did all the rest. But Jesus conquered the power of the cross and death through his resurrection. And the disciples went throughout the world preaching Jesus and the cross. Wherever they went, they carried the revolutionary power of the cross with them. And that message changed the world. The power of paganism, which had so long ruled over the hearts of men, was broken. The might of the Roman Empire was broken. The history of all humankind was forever altered because of the radical message of the cross. And this it did and continues to do as long as it remains what it was originally, a cross. But it loses its power when it becomes a thing of beauty instead of a thing of death. When it becomes a mere symbol or ornament, millions today wear it and revere it, but know absolutely nothing about its power. The cross accomplishes its purpose by destroying. It wins by defeating its opponent. It always dominates and it always wins. And the cross offers no compromise. Jesus knew this when he said, if any man will come after me and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus demands we do something about the cross. We will flee from it or we will die upon it. If we are wise, we will do what Jesus did. We will endure the cross and despise its shame for the joy that is set before us. You will then find that the cross is more than a beautiful hymn or poem. The cross will cut into your life where it hurts the worst. The cross will not spare you or your reputation. It will defeat you and bring an end to your selfish life. St. Augustine prayed, "Let me die, lest I die. Only let me see thy face." To die so that we might not die. His thought here is that whatever might hide God's face from him must be removed out of the way. Even his own self-love, his ego, his pride. But we would do anything to avoid the cross. We labor, fast, sacrifice, mourn, and weep, trying to mortify the flesh. But our flesh will yield to nothing less than the cross. In every heart there's a throne and a cross. And you're on the throne until you put yourself on the cross. And if you refuse the cross, you remain on the throne of your life, not God. We want to be saved, but we insist that Jesus do all the dying. No cross for us, no dethronement, no dying. But Jesus stepped down from his throne and took up a cross, and he demands we do the same. Amen? The cross is brutal. Folks, the cross is so brutal, even Jesus wrestled with it. Did you hear what I just said? The cross is so brutal, even Jesus wrestled with it. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. What he was about to go through. Let me tell you about somebody I admire greatly. Her name is Rosaria Butterfield. Rosaria Butterfield, she has a couple of books out that I highly recommend. Rosaria Butterfield was a tenured professor in academics and English at Syracuse University. She had full tenure. She'd been there a long time. She was an esteemed academic. in English and women's studies. She was involved in a lesbian relationship and partner for 30 years. She was head of one of the national lesbian movements in America. She was a nationally known speaker in the lesbian movement, highly esteemed and respected. She wrote an article about a local Promise Keepers men's movement, and in this article, she just tore it up, tore up the Word of God, tore up Promise Keepers, tore up everything. And she got a lot of letters about it, some good, some bad. She had a large platform and a large forum. A lot of people listened to what this woman had to say. She has a brilliant mind. Out of all the letters she got, one of them she threw in the garbage, and then she felt led to retrieve it. It was from a local pastor, and she just tossed it. But after she tossed it, something started gnawing at her, and she picked it back up. And she read the letter, and the letter said, "I recently read your article about Promise Keepers." And the pastor said, "I was intrigued by it. It interested me. And I can tell from your writing that you're brilliant. You're a great academic." He said, "But I was curious about where you got your research and what foundation you based all your arguments on." Well, this struck Rosaria because she was an academic, and she knew in her heart she hadn't done any research. And she knew in her heart and in her honest mind that she was prejudiced and she wrote from a position of emotion. So she decided to start reading the Bible. She decided to turn to the Word of God to see what the Bible really said and to do her research so she would be better informed about these things. But she ran into something. This is what she says. She ran into something she didn't expect. She ran into something reading the Bible that she couldn't come to terms with, couldn't come to grips with. She ran into the cross. The cross. She tried to ignore it. She tried to just, but the cross just kept standing there in front of her, this passion, this Savior that died for the sins of the world, and the cross, she couldn't get away from it. And it was torment, it was tearing her apart. And she fell in love with this Jesus. She just fell in love with his words, his teaching, everything. She just got consumed with it. And she went to one of the theology professors at Syracuse and said, "I have a problem." And they said, "What is it?" She said, "I'm falling in love with Jesus. But you know who I am, what I stand for, what I've always been." And the theology professor told her, "Rosaria, it's no problem. You can continue to be everything you are. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to give up anything." And that liberal professor just said, it's okay. And Rosaria said, "Oh, thank you. It's the greatest news I've ever heard." She was just so thrilled. And then she went back home and kept reading her Bible. And one night, reading her Bible, that cross was staring her in the face. And she couldn't get around it. That cross was demanding, because she could see that Jesus died because of sin. And that cross was demanding something from her. And she broke that night and gave into it and broke with her partner of 30 years. They shared a house together. They were highly successful. She walked away from it all. She had been invited to speak at a large conference for the LGBT movement. And she wrestled with whether she should step down and not speak, but the Lord told her to go ahead. And she went to the platform in front of thousands of people at this large conference, and she walked up there knowing, she said in her book, "It would cost me everything. It would cost me my tenured professorship. It would cost me my friends. It would cost me my relationships. It would burn everything up. And she walked up in front of that large crowd, and this is what she said. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. And it did cost her everything. She lost everything. She was fired, dismissed. Today she's married to a pastor as a family. They pastor a church, and God is blessing. And she's writing books, and she will help you, if you ever read her books, she will help you love the gay community, because she knows how to, she knows, because she's from it. And reading the books gave me a heart. I've been praying for that community. Amen. And we love them. Amen. Because that's what Jesus died for. But Jen Hatmaker, and I don't know if you're familiar with her, she recently wrote an article. She's big in the Christian movement about how it's okay to be gay and be Christian, and she wrote all that. Rosaria wrote her a letter back. This was just a couple of years ago. Rosaria responded, and this was Rosaria's response. Dear Jen, if this were 1999, the year I was converted and walked away from the woman and lesbian community that I loved, your words about the holiness of LGBT relationships would have flooded into my world like a balm of Gilead. How amazing it would have been to have someone as radiant, knowledgeable, humble, kind, and funny as you saying out loud what my heart was shouting. Yes, I can have Jesus and my girlfriend. Yes, I can flourish both in my tenured academic discipline, queer theory, and English literature and culture, and in my church. My emotional vertigo would find normal once again. Maybe I wouldn't need to lose everything to have Jesus. Maybe the gospel wouldn't ruin me while I waited and waited and waited for the Lord to build me back up after He convicted me of my sin and I suffered the consequences. Maybe it would go differently for me than it did for Paul, Daniel, David, Jeremiah. Maybe Jesus would save me without afflicting me. Maybe the Lord would give me a respectable cross. Maybe the Lord would give me thorns that were manageable. To be clear, I wasn't converted out of homosexuality. I was converted out of unbelief. I didn't swap out a lifestyle. I died to a life I loved. Conversion to Christ made me face the question squarely. Did my lesbianism reflect who I am, or did my lesbianism distort who I am through the fall of Adam? I learned through conversion that when something feels right and good and real and necessary, but stands against God's word, this reveals the particular way Adam's sin marks my life. Our sin nature deceives us. Sin's deception isn't just out there. It's also deep in the caverns of our heart. Then she wrote, there is no goodwill between the cross and an unconverted person. The cross is ruthless. To take up your cross means you're going to die. To carry a cross means you're walking away and you're never coming back. The cross symbolizes what it means to die. When the cross does a work, it completes it. When the cross does a work, it destroys it. Everything Jesus took to the cross was destroyed. Everything Jesus took to the cross was annihilated. Everything Jesus took to the cross was crushed. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it is finished. He meant that sin was finished. He meant that shame was finished. He meant that disease was finished. He meant that cancer was finished. He meant that depression was finished. He meant that fear was finished. That's the power of the cross. It annihilates. It destroys. Nothing survives it. And lastly, he said, follow me. We stand here today with a decision to make. There's a cross laying on the ground. There's a cross laying on the ground in front of me, and Jesus has asked me to pick it up. And over here is the world and all the pleasure of the world and everything else that everybody is telling me is right. I have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Well, Glenn, I've already made that choice. Well, really? Because that's what I felt God telling me this morning. Have we really made that choice? Have we really picked up that cross that lays in front of us and made that decision that I have decided to follow Jesus? He's going to walk away. And we're either going to follow him or we're going to go in the other direction. Satan and his pleasures and all the stuff of this world are over here. And Jesus is going in the opposite way. They don't walk the same path. And you have to make the decision which way you're going to go. Hebrews chapter 11, our last verse for today, says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had everything. Moses had all the riches of Egypt at his fingertips. Moses had all the pleasures of Egypt at his fingertips. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he looked for another reward. The Bible says those people of faith, they all died in faith, but they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Folks, this world is not our home. This world will be burned up and destroyed, and everything that we think is so dear and precious will be consumed in a moment, and you'll be left holding nothing. Only one thing will still be standing, and that's the cross. That's the cross. Amen? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand to your feet and lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 So what will you do? What will you do? I stared this morning as the Lord showed me that cross. And he was telling me that so many have not really picked it up. We talk it. But that struck me. Will you pick up that cross today and follow Jesus? And decide once and for all, I will be his disciple. I am a follower of Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Thank you, Father. Put your hands down for just a moment. If there's anybody here, you'd say, Glenn, I've never really made that decision to accept Jesus as my Savior. I've just never really made that decision. And I can see today that I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And if that's you, and every head is bowed, I want you to just put your hand up so I can pray for you. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Glenn, I've decided to follow Jesus, is there anybody? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Well, I pray we're all believers. But as believers, we can't just be believers and not follow Him. Amen. Trying to go the easy way, because there is no easy way. And I got news for you, church. It's going to get harder, because more and more and more people who believe like we believe are going to be out, are going to be cut out and marginalized. I'm just telling you. You think it's gotten bad now, it's going to get worse. But that's okay. And the Bible tells us that's coming. And it's really kind of already on us. But that's where Paul walked. That's where all these people walked. They walked in a time when it wasn't popular to follow Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.